All right, this morning you're invited to open to Luke chapter 4, okay? All right, this is chapter 4 of Luke, and we're going to be on verse 31, okay? And Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Amen. God, previously we were in Luke 4 and talking about Jesus being rejected at Nazareth. And today we're now going to look at chapter 4, verse 31, talking about his healing ministry. Okay. A reading from Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 31. Hear now these words. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." When the demon had thrown him down before them, he came out of him without having done any harm to him. They were all amazed and kept saying to one another, "What kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits, and out they come." And a report about him began to reach every place in the region. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood up over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any sick with various kind of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and not allowed them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak he departed and went to a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And so he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus, the healing prophet. And, and I thought I actually was going to use this scripture last week, but last week I felt led to speak on John chapter 3, you know, building a theme of love and talking about for God so loved the world. And then Saturday morning, I overslept and took Bridge and River for a walk, and then to my displeasure, River broke his car leash and proceeded to get into a fight with Bridge and had to break that up and get them both home. And while handling that, I got a text from Mr. Josh saying, "You got your stuff for your the bulletin." I was like, "Oh, snap, I've forgotten all about that." And so as soon as we got new cars on them and we got them settled down, I was rushing back inside to clicking and ticking. So if there's any errors in the bulletin, that's probably on me. But I must say, it must have worked, because all the scripture and songs, liturgy, I mean, it's just all, I couldn't type fast enough. It was all coming all together. Yeah. So it's always nice when everything kind of comes together about the healing touch of Jesus, you know. And that's why I picked these songs out about, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," "Jesus don't pass me by," or "He touched me," "It's the healing touch." And then we're going to end with a rousing hymn of "He Set Me Free." And so this morning, we see that Jesus has left Nazareth and is going down to Capernaum. And Capernaum, you will notice in the Gospels, is kind of like his headquarters. It's not Nazareth or Jerusalem. Nazareth, he's the hometown boy. He's been rejected. Jerusalem, he'll go up on special occasions for the various festivals. But his hometown, has a base of operation, if you will, is Capernaum. That's kind of like the headquarters. And so there, he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and it says they were astounded at his teaching because he spoke with authority. Now, what that means is that Jesus would be considered a prophet, but he did not speak the way the prophets spoke. When you go back and you look at the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. Now, for example, I mean, we even have a song about this in our Methodist hymnal, right? Go Down, Moses. Thus saith the Lord, Bo Moses said, let my people go. If not, I'll smite their firstborn dead. Let my people go. Okay? Well, that's a theme you hear throughout the books of Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and that whole bunch. They're constantly saying, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says this. Thus said the Lord to Jerusalem. Thus said the Lord to Israel. Okay? You know, so they're lying. I'm just a messenger boy. This is what the Lord said. Okay? And sometimes you have folks saying that, and they weren't telling the truth. Those were known as false prophets. For example, in the book of Jeremiah, you have a guy running around saying, thus saith the Lord, in 2 years you will leave Babylon and you'll go back home to Jerusalem. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, may it be so. And 2 months later, that prophet died, struck down by the hand of God. And Jeremiah, he gave a prophecy, said, thus saith the Lord, after 70 years, you'll get to go back home, okay? You know, well, Jesus never says, thus saith the Lord. He speaks with his own authority. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. Jesus speaks with his own moral authority. So, very different for a prophet. Unlike the prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus is not going around saying, thus saith the Lord. Jesus says, I say unto you. And that's why they were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke with that authority. Well, Jesus is speaking in the synagogue on one occasion. That'd be like he comes to a church here in Tennessee on Sunday morning. And somebody in the congregation starts shouting with a loud voice. Now, usually that's a good thing. Folks start shouting in church. It means they're happy. But this shouting is not a good kind of shouting. And I've heard, you know, read that a lot of times this is often be a gravelly voice, animal-like. You know, you hear it, it would make you shudder because this is a voice of evil. Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Why have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus came into the synagogue, and to our surprise, he's not the only divine, the supernatural presence there. You have an individual who has a demonic and unclean spirit. And maybe even spirits, because it talks about what has to do with us, plural, you know. And when this cat sees Jesus, the Son of God, he gets very upset. Takes him on and says, what are you doing with us? Have you come to destroy us? And you'll notice that is a theme throughout the Gospels as well. When Jesus shows up, demonic spirits get very upset. And they want to know, are you going to destroy us? Okay. Now, a lot of times we kind of think in our head, you got Jesus on this side, here's the devil on their side, and then they're Eve and Stephen. No. Mm-mm, not by a long shot. It's more like, here's the elephant in the room, and here's a little mosquito that's causing trouble. Every time the demonic spirits see Jesus, one of the first things they ask is, have you come to destroy us? And the answer is, not yet. That is coming on Judgment Day, when the devil and all his buddies get locked up and destroyed for good. He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And how sad it is that even today in our own society, we probably could go to some churches, or at least they claim to be a church, and evil spirits in that church know who Jesus is, but the folks inside the pews don't know who Jesus is. That's a sad situation, but that's where our society's got into. The forces of evil recognize who Jesus is, but the people who are supposed to be God's people don't know who he is. He is the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. You know, almost like you're being arrested. You got the right to be quiet and silent, and come on out. And the demon throws this poor person down on the ground and comes out without doing him any harm. And the people are amazed. And they say, what kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power, he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. So again, you see, we see this. Not only does Jesus speak with authority in his sermons, but with authority, he commands unclean spirits out. And you may recall, for example, in the book of Acts, you had these seven jokers who were trying to cast out demons. And the demons looked at them and said, well, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but here are you. And they came out and beat them up. It's a dangerous thing to be doing this sort of stuff and not being doing it with spiritual authority. And thus, the report about him began to reach every place in the region. Well, then he leaves the synagogue and goes down to Simon's house. Now, Simon, we know him better as Peter, Simon Peter. And Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, okay? And a lot of folks don't know this, and they know because a lot of folks, because of the Catholic traditions and rules and such, they think Peter was a single guy. Well, he wasn't, because here's his mother-in-law. So Peter had a wife, and he had a mother-in-law. And there she was, suffering with this high fever. Jesus walks over to her and rebukes the fever. And immediately, it left her. And it left her so quickly in such fashion that she jumps up, and what does she do? She starts cooking supper for Jesus. Now, you know, it should be that when Jesus puts his healing touch upon us, the first thing we do is to give him thanks and be sure to serve him. I'm sure you recall the story of the 10 lepers, how they came for the Lord and they were healed. But of the 10, only one came back, and therefore Jesus, thanking him for their healing. Well, verse 40, as the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on each of them and cured them. You know, I heard blessed the song, no, he touched me. And that's the reason I picked that song, was the idea of, no, Jesus touching and healing folks. Now, that's also something that was done by the prophets, but not all of them. Now, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and that bunch, we don't have any stories about them laying hands on somebody and healing them. Okay, we don't. The closer we come to Isaiah is when he went to King Hezekiah and said, get your house in order, for you shall die and shall not live. And he leaves, and Hezekiah falls down on his knees and prays. And while he's praying and crying, Isaiah comes back in and says, the Lord has heard your prayer. You will be given 7 more years. Look at the sundial, and God's going to make the shadow move backwards as a sign that he's healed you. Now, the prophets Elijah and Elisha, you may recall, they did have a healing ministry. You may recall Elijah, he fed the widow and her son. And when the son died, he prayed over her, and he was healed, brought back to life. With Elisha, you may recall, the general came in from Syria, had leprosy, and Elisha, being no respecter of persons, didn't even come out of the house. Told the messenger, tell the general to go down to the Jordan River, dip himself 7 times. The general, in his pride and arrogance, began to refuse. But one of his servants said, Father, if he asked you to do something simple, you've done it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. And when Joel Naaman dipped himself 7 times in that muddy Jordan River, he came out. His skin was smooth as a newborn baby. So we see that with Jesus, his healing ministry is reflective of the ministries of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, because they too would heal people. It talks about the demons also came out, many shouting, you are the Son of God. And Jesus rebuked them and he would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Messiah. Again, so sad that in our society, so many people do not know that Jesus is, one, the Messiah, as prophesied by the Old Testament, and two, he is the Son of God. He is that second person in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord God Almighty, that was what Jesus referred to as his Heavenly Father. And then Jesus was his only begotten, his son.
And then when Jesus went up to be back to his Father, see at his right hand, he sent the third person, the Holy Spirit, to come down to live inside our hearts and bodies, you know, to be with us. And then he says he rebuked them without allowing them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. You know, so important. I think about how when Jesus asked the disciples who people said, "I am," and Peter said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God." It's important to all of us know that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of the living God. Well, at daybreak, he departed and went to a deserted place. No, just trying to get by himself. And the crowds look for him, and when they reach him, they want to prevent him from leaving. "Jesus, don't you go anywhere. You need to stay here in Capernaum." But Jesus told them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." Jesus was sent into our world on a mission to proclaim the kingdom of God, to set it up. And so he continues to proclaim the message to the synagogues of Judea. Now, what about us this morning? Do we know who Jesus is? Do we know that he is that healing person, that he, in his goodness and gracious, even today might heal us when we're sick? Do we know that he's the Holy One of God, the one whom God sent into the world to live a holy life, to show us how to love and treat one another, and then to be on that Thursday night to institute the Lord's Supper, saying, "This is my bread which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for me for the coming of the new covenant." And he will on Friday be condemned, crucified for our sins, buried in the stone cold tomb, and then on Sunday morning rise and live again, showing that he was a perfect sacrifice, and through him all can receive forgiveness. Do we know him as to be the Messiah, the one who came to fulfill all those Old Testament scriptures, that in him we see the perfect representation of God, Heavenly Father, and his love for us? And it was so sad that here we had the examples of these demonic spirits who knew who Jesus was. And yet in our own society, we got so many people who do not know who Jesus is. I remember a song on the Gator video that said, "I'm glad I know who Jesus is." There's another song that says, "To everyone you see, tell them from me that Jesus is alive and well." No, our job as a church and as an individual Christian, it should be, let folks know who Jesus is. Jesus was that healing prophet. He came, spoke with authority. He cast out the forces of evil with his divine authority. But most importantly, he came to lay himself down as a ransom for many, to shed his own blood, allow his own flesh to be broken upon the cross, to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. You know, Easter is coming up very soon. It's around the corner here in a few weeks. A lot of folks are going to be confused, and things are going to be about Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and this and that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we should celebrate life. But all our friends and loved ones need to know that's just icing on the cake. The cake is we celebrate Easter because we serve a risen Savior. We know who Jesus is. Our job is as Christians is that whether they go to church with us, don't go to church with us, whether they live on that side of the track or this side of the track, or they live on this side of the creek or that side of the creek, that everyone we know, we love and meet, no, we should be having our ears and eyes open for the opportunity to say, "This is who Jesus is. He's the Holy One of God. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. He's our healing prophet." Thanks be to God. Amen.